How's it going here? Got the no-dos going? Well, you know, not really too much different from kind of the way we're scheduled to go into the day. You know, picked at 64. You know, with Richards, it's been a, you know, good player at Stanford. Kind of plays both strong safety and free safety. You know, been a real productive guy for him. I think, you know, he's got it, you know, you'll like having around here. And then Geno Grissom is, you know, a player that has played a couple of different spots, you know, converted from tight end to linebacker or defensive end, whatever you want to call it, and played defensive end in 13, played outside linebackers, also played inside in some passing situations, pretty athletic. Versatile guy in Oklahoma's defense over the last couple of years. So, you know, looking forward to working with both of them and along with Malcolm. And so just, you know, see how it goes with that group. And then, you know, traded next year so, or to tomorrow. So we ended up with, we're at 7 picks for tomorrow. So we're kind of spaced pretty evenly throughout the rounds in the draft. I think we got a good, nice opportunity there with, in terms of, you know, a flow to be able to, you know, sequentially make some picks if we hold on to them. We'll see how that goes, but I think there are, you know, a number of interesting guys that are on the board. We tried to, you know, get the picks into that sort of area in the draft, so hopefully we'll be able to grab some players that we like in those spots. So it.
Yeah. On that, Richards, you mentioned played both safety spots. Could you elaborate?
Well, you know, I mean, you can see him in a box. You can see him in the middle of the field. So, I mean, you can see him doing pretty much everything.
Did he all come down and play on the line of scrimmage at all?
He dropped into the box a lot. They didn't really play him. No, they didn't really play their safeties that way. Like, yeah, like linebackers, but the, most of the time they played high and disguised it. And he's down around the line of scrimmage a lot, but he doesn't like line up as a linebacker.
And it seemed like you talked to him about his intelligence, and it seemed like he took a lot of pride in that, not just knowing his own assignment, but everyone on the defense. What was your takeaway from either your scouts or you from talking to him about that?
Yeah, I mean, real good. I don't think, I mean, everybody you talk to, I think that's pretty. They rave about it, about his communication, his leadership, his football character on and off the field. Just, I don't think there's any issues with that.
Grissom, like versatility-wise, one thing I read was it was almost like he didn't have a home, a position, because they were moving him around.
No, I wouldn't say that.
End of the line, or?
Well, in 2013, the, you know, they played 3-4 defense. I mean, he's played under two different coordinators. But when Mike Stoops came back, his 3-4 defense, and they didn't have, you know, enough depth there at defensive end. So he played 4 technique, actually 4-I technique in 2013, you know, at 260 pounds. So he was way undersized, but, I mean, he competed well. They didn't, you know, knock him off the line of scrimmage. It wasn't like, he didn't look like a linebacker in there. You know, you wouldn't probably think he was that light if you didn't know it, not by the way he played. He plays good playing strength. I mean, he's just, you know, runs well. Then this year, it looked like they had more depth on the defensive line. They moved him to outside linebacker. So both last year and this year, on third down, he played and then also bumped inside to an inside rusher position. They have pretty good edge guys, you know, Stryker and the other kid, underclassmen. So he was kind of the guy that would move down inside at times. He was productive there, you know, Alabama game, for example. So he's rushed inside, he's rushed outside, he's played, you know, anywhere from the end of the line, 5 technique, defensive end in a 4-3, outside linebacker in a 3-4.
How much did that Alabama game kind of stick out to you when you're engaging him?
I mean, I'd say he's pretty disruptive in every game. I mean, he has plays in every game. You know, it's not like if you watch four games to find him making a play. He's been a hard guy to block in that league, and you know, there's a lot of teams that throw the ball. You know, I mean, you watch the Texas Tech, TCU, you know, games like that. I mean, it's 50 passes in the first half.
You also seem to have some ability to anticipate the passing lanes in terms of getting up bad balls and dropping a little bit.
Yeah, I'd say he's very instinctive as a pass rusher. And, you know, he's in coverage, you know, decent amount of the time as a walked-off linebacker. So, I mean, you see a guy play out in space, out over the slot. You know, he does a lot of that. So, say for a guy to play from three technique to end of the line to a walked-out linebacker. At the Senior Bowl, they actually played him off the line, like in a tackle bubble. So, he's a pretty athletic, versatile guy.
Plenty of jobs to do on their own when they're playing for the team. But you look at a guy like Grissom and know all the different things that Rob Ninkovich has done over the course of his career. Do you ever say to a player, Rob, if you had a chance to bring him along, are there any similarities to their skill set just at this point?
I think there's some similarities. I would say that, you know, Grissom's just done, you know, has done more than Rob. I mean, it's similar to Rob, but he's played a lot of three technique. You know, which Rob just hasn't done a lot of. You know, Rob's been on the end of the line. He's been a linebacker. Rob's played more linebacker than Grissom has, but, you know, Grissom's played in the inside part of the defensive line, not just on passing downs. You know, he's played there on their base defense in 13, so it's interesting, Claire.
Did I read that he actually worked out at tight end on his pro day?
He played tight end. Yes. Yeah, he played linebacker. You know, he came to them as a defensive end, then he went back to tight end, then they had some injuries, then he went back to defense, and then he played defense the last 2-plus years. I think he had a whole spring at tight end. He did work out as a tight end.
Is that any kind of consideration or
No, we're not trying to make him a tight end, but I would say his workout as a tight end's, you know, probably as good of a tight end workout as we saw all year. I mean, this guy can run, he can catch. You know, it's not. I mean, if you didn't know he didn't play tight end, you would look at the workout and say, like, it's a pretty good looking tight end.
Well, did you see any work from Richards on special teams?
Oh yeah.
And how did he impress you there?
Good, really good. Both those guys, I think, will, you know, have a role in the kicking game. Richards is, yeah. I mean, this guy's a strong tackler, pretty, you know, instinctive guy. I think he'll be a good, you know, certainly be able to play on a punt team, kickoff return, kickoff coverage, punt return, you know, be a matchup guy outside or, you know, maybe a hold-up guy in the box. But I'm sure he'll be able to contribute in a kicking game.
Obviously, every guy is different, but when you look at a guy like Grissom who went through different assistant coaches, different coordinators, how does that change?
Well, just two. Just two.
Yeah, does that change the evaluation process when you're looking at a prospect like that?
No, I mean, look, there's some guys we talked to that have, you know, five coordinators, five position coaches, four coordinators, five position coaches. You know, I'd say a lot of standards. He's had a lot of stability. You know, it's unusual, really, to talk to a kid that's had the same coordinator, the same position coach for his whole time at the school. I wouldn't say rare, but I'd say the exception is multiple coaches as opposed to just one.
You said you felt as if there were a number of intriguing players on the board and you have a number of picks for tomorrow. So I'm just interpreting that, you feel pretty good going into tomorrow with the classic player on the board and the picks you have?
I think where we were at the start of the day, we had a little bit of spacing there. You know, top of the fourth, bottom of the fourth, no sixth, but top of the no fifth, but top of the sixth, top of the seventh, bottom of the seventh. You know, now we've kind of filled in, we have three picks in the fourth round, and we've kind of filled in that fifth round at 147 or whatever it is. So, you know, I mean, that's seven picks in, you know, in the rounds remaining, kind of with the spacing that they have is. I mean, it's nice. It's a little bit unusual. You know, normally, pick and wait and pick and wait. I mean, here we've kind of got, you know, I'd say a little bit of a flow. Or if we lose a guy, then, you know, it's not too far where we're probably able to get the next guy versus you lose a guy and then you're sitting there for, you know, 20-some picks, whatever it is, and you probably lose a couple more guys. So, you know, and I'd say there's a number of players that we, you know, feel like can still be a, you know, a positive factor for us. So, I mean, we'll see how all of that plays out, but, you know, there's guys that we, you know, at least right now that we want to pick. So hopefully we'll get some of them.
Richards, on I know we sort of had this conversation leading up to the draft and yesterday about the mocks and whatever, the wide variance of players. Most people thought Richards further down the draft. When you looked at him, just his skill set specific to you, a really good fit at that spot?
I mean, you know, we always look at the board, look at the options, look at the players, and take the guy we feel is best. So that's what we do on every pick. So it did.
With Richards, he's obviously a smart kid in the classroom, and because you described him instinctive and smart on the football field. Is there sometimes a difference? I mean, is there always a correlation?
No, definitely not. Absolutely not. There just isn't. Some guys are football smart and they're not, you know, smart in other ways. Other guys are 1500 on their SATs and, you know, can't get a double team block right. I mean, it's, you know, no, that definitely, my experience, sometimes it correlates, sometimes it doesn't, but yeah, I don't think you just take it for granted. I mean, I think a smart guy can learn, but some guys learn, I mean, it's just like all of us, you know, some guys can learn, some people can learn electronics, some of us can't. Some people can learn something else, some of us can't. I mean, you know, we're all wired differently, so. Some guys, football comes really easy to them. They can see what all 22 players are doing, can see what all 11 guys are doing on their side of the ball, how it all fits together. You know, it's easy for them. Other guys, it's once you get past their assignment, you know, it's the big picture, the overall concepts, how it all fits together. Sometimes that doesn't come so easy for them. Depends on what position they play, but, you know, no, they're all different. But I'd say in his case, you know, he's smart, instinctive football player. And well, the rest of it's good, too. I mean, so is Grissom.
How do you rate the intangible of him coming from a football family, his dad played and coached at Tufts? I mean, does that play some type of role in terms of evaluating the intangible?
I think you got to look at each one separately. There are a number of kids in this draft that have those kind of connections, I guess you call them. With either family members, fathers, uncles, whatever, let's say in varying degrees, it maybe adds up. Sometimes it doesn't add up.
Were you in the NESCAC at the same time as his dad?
I don't know. What year was he there?
79.
Yeah, it was 71, 75, so.
Late
70s. Yeah, right. A couple clips there, yeah.
Stanford's program, obviously, they're all smart kids. And the pipeline they've developed in recent years, there's talent there. But what is it about the program David Shaw and Harbaugh before him now run has these guys NFL ready in terms of being mentally able as well as physically able to come into the room?
Well, I mean, I'm sure when Jim was out there, you know, he probably ran as close to an NFL program as, like, that's what he knew. You know, so that's Nick at Alabama or Greg when he was at Rutgers or Pat when he was at Fresno or Kirk when he was at Iowa State or, you know, those guys that have gone back into college football from the NFL, you know, a lot of times just take whatever they did as an NFL program. So the players are kind of accustomed to those demands and that, I mean, it's different because they're going to class and all that. I mean, I get that, but like just the football part of it, you know, the meetings, the walkthroughs, the off season program, the, all the demands of the program, the training, the, you know, film study on their own. I mean, all those things, whatever they are, that then when they come into this league, a lot of times it's not, it's an adjustment, but it's not as much of an adjustment. So, I don't know. I mean, I can't speak specifically to that program, but from what I understand, I mean, you know, we have Cam, we have Tyler, we have guys, you know, you could talk to about that, but I don't think they didn't seem to be overwhelmed by our program. I'm not saying there wasn't a jump, but like, you know, we might see from some other guys. Terminology, you know, all that stuff. It could, but that's what we're used to. It didn't, maybe it doesn't seem that bad.
Position, are there any positions you look at on your roster and say we need to address that position?
We'll do what we do on every pick. We'll take a look at the options and do what we think's best. So can't manufacture players. Whatever's up there is up there, and we'll see how that, you know, extrapolates into our roster and our opportunities. You know, I think at this point there's a little bit of draft strategy involved too. Maybe you think you need to take, maybe you might have one guy rated higher than the other, but you might want to take the lower rated guy first because of draft strategy, somebody else you think might want him or whatever. So there's, you know, sometimes a little bit of that, but again, each situation's different, each pick's different, each player is different. So how they fit onto the team and how we would see it, each, we just evaluate each situation on its own. I can't really sit here and say what we're going to do, although it's nice tomorrow to be able to have the second pick, so we only have to think about one team before us instead of 31, where you really don't have any idea what's going to happen in those 31 picks. At least with one pick, you can, as long as you have two guys, you know, you get some, you know, you can get one of them if, you know, if in fact we stay there and pick. So see how it goes. Good. Okay, great. See you tomorrow.